Ann Boskamp is a Canadian Christian author who is a New York Times best-selling writer of the book titled 1,000 Gifts. Boskamp shares that in the book 1,000 Gifts, it was inspired by a friend of hers who challenged her, actually. She said, "Ann, I want you to write down, chronicle 1,000 gifts that have impacted your life." For Boskamp, she shared that that journey really became an opportunity for her to not so much only consider 1,000 gifts, but 1,000 ways that God had shown love to her. You know, I found that book by Boskamp to be inspiring in my own journey. And I embraced that challenge of hers to begin chronicling my own 1,000 gifts each day, to consider ways in which God had graced me and those I loved. You know, if each of us each day wrote down 3 gifts, in 1 year we would have our chronicle, our very own daily worship of celebrating the gifts in our life. As Boskamp wrote 1,000 gifts, she said something that came out of that experience that she didn't expect was this: that even as she considered the gifts that had graced her life, she also experienced her sense of joy growing as she considered what she was thankful for. As we live in our world right now, facing the challenges of a pandemic, things that are so much un-gift-giving in our world, it seems like much of what we're experiencing is not giving, but taking away from us. Perhaps as we hear those words, that challenge of Ann Boskamp, our immediate response in these times is to be a little cynical. Maybe we want to say, "Sure, Ann Boskamp, it's easy to give thanks and consider 1,000 gifts when all is right in the world. But what about when people are dying? When we are isolated from loved ones and friends and family, when our economy is fragile and almost breaking, how then, Miss Boskamp, can we give thanks?" Maybe that's our response. But you see, the important thing about Ann Boskamp's journey with 1,000 gifts was that she wrote that in spite of knowing great hardship in her own life. In fact, she would say that the book was 30 years in the making. When Ann was 4 years old, her 18-month-old sister was killed in a farming accident. And Ann and her family lived with that grief for years, suffering from depression and anxiety, faith challenges, and lacks of hope. She said that when she started once again considering the gifts in her life, she knew joy once more. She shared how joy is something that we can choose that transcends circumstances. She experienced that in her own life and encourages those who read to do the same. You know, Boskamp didn't originate that thought. Scripture speaks to us of the joy that is found when we give thanks. Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to the church in Philippi, and those words in chapter 4:13 have become some of the most famous words of Scripture in modern times. Those words that Tim Tebow made famous when he placed it under his eyes playing football, that said, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But an important part of that letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi is not just how it ended, but how it began. Paul began that letter by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And in case we miss it, Paul repeats by saying, "I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Now let's break that down a little bit. The essence of what I hear Paul saying there is that when we are thankful, we embrace more of a spirit of joy and we're able to rejoice. I've heard some scholars say, we can't be anxious and worry and thankful at the same time. And the opposite is also true. When we are people of gratitude, there is no space for worry and anxiety in our life. This doesn't mean embracing just a blind faith and not being realistic about the challenges that we face, but it's a commitment to not let the challenges, the adversity, the darkness of life conquer our very existence as people of light and love. Yes, Paul was right. As we are people of thanksgiving, we are equipped to know more joy and rejoice in the Lord no matter what we face. As he would say, I've learned the secret of being content in any, in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Friends, I believe more than ever now what Paul meant of that secret of being content is our willingness to daily count the blessings that are before us and give thanks for what God is doing. Now, as you listen with me and wrestle with this sermon today, maybe you say, Jody, all that is well and good when things are right in the world. Maybe it's challenging for those of us who are facing indeed crisis in our own families. Perhaps as we listen together, we say, yeah, Jody, I hear what you're saying. I know those are the words of Paul, but what about me and my family who are facing the coronavirus right now? When my father is dying, when my friends are separated from each other and quarantined even as they're at death's door, how then can we give thanks? How then can we relate to what God is doing good in the midst of all this bad? I get it. I've had similar questions. One of our students at Memphis Theological Seminary this week wrote me and said, I just don't know if I can continue. We're dealing with all the effects of the virus, and I have all of this studying to do, and yet I need to minister to my people. I just don't know if I can keep my head above water. You see, I remember a similar journey that I had when I was in seminary. It was in the year 1997. I'd just been in seminary about a year, and Manya and I had our first child born, Noah. Shortly after his birth, we discovered that Noah was deaf, and it was a traumatic experience for the two of us. As he was approaching his first year of life, we had gone to the doctor and heard those words that he was deaf, and we began phoning our families with that voiceless word as Manya felt it come off her lips, he's deaf. I remember her saying, I just want my baby to be able to hear me say, I love you. And then following that appeal was the question, why? Why, God? Why in this vulnerable time in our life do we feel so alone? Why, God, can you not restore our child with a miracle of grace, just as many of us are facing those whys, as our families are crippled and we are isolated as a result of this pandemic? Why? You see, friends, one thing that Manya and I learned in the midst of our whys those many years ago is that we never found peace in the whys. It was when through God's grace we transitioned from asking why to asking a different question. And the question became what? Not why is this happening? But what can we do to embrace more of a sense of joy in our life? What can we do to find God's strength to respond to the needs our child has now? What can we do to still live as people of why, of what beyond the whys of life? People of light in our world. You know, here's the thing in our scripture today that I read earlier. In John chapter 11, we hear where Lazarus is restored through a miracle of God's grace. And as people of faith, as we're facing the illnesses of this pandemic, we continue to pray for those we love. We continue to ask for miracles of grace to embrace their life. But sometimes the very miracle of God's grace is the restoration to joy that sustains us no matter what we face. Here's what I mean. Did you notice in that passage of Scripture that when Jesus brought restoration to Lazarus, before the miracle occurred, Jesus said these words, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." You see, before the miracle was the attitude of gratitude. Before Jesus sought God's working of joy and restoration to his family, he was a person of thanksgiving. I think that's a symbolic as well as an actual gift and reminder that when we too practice thanksgiving, maybe we don't see literal miracles happening around us in every way that we want, but we see the miracle of joy restored in our life. The more we are thankful, the more rejoicing can be a part of our life. Friends, I believe that with every fiber of me. In the words of Voskamp, if we focus only on what's wrong, there's no room for joy. But the more we are thankful, the more we are conscious of what God is also doing in the midst of our crisis. Not only did Jesus practice thanksgiving in this passage of Scripture today, but one of my favorite accounts of Scripture is in John chapter 13 through 17. This day of Holy Thursday, the institution of the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gathered in an upper room with his disciples. And one of my favorite points of that scripture I focused on throughout my ministry is that Jesus' last commission to his disciples was for them to love one another. He said, "If you will love one another, people will know you are my disciples. You are my friends." But before Jesus commissioned his disciples to love one another, there's something else that happened in that upper room. Consider with me now, these were the last 12 hours that Jesus would live on earth. You know, I was watching recently, Manya was, the story of Ted Bundy, the tragic and horrific events that he brought destruction to many. And as Bundy's life was about to be taken on death row, they gave him a last meal. And often they do that. They allow the prisoners to select what it is that they want. They want their last moments and the last hours to be as humane as possible. So consider with me now, as Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, faced his last 12 hours on earth, it must have been a time when he also focused on what was most important. You know what our Lord chose to do? To set an example for his friends and for us as his followers even today. In his last 12 hours, our scriptures tell us that he took bread and after giving thanks, he gave it to his friends. You see, Holy Communion began when our Lord knew life was about to end. Isn't it more than symbolic that at the most trying time in our Lord's life, as he was about to end his earthly ministry, he left one final example of how important it is to life and faith to be people of thanksgiving. So friends, even as we face separation now in our world, as we're physically isolated from those that we love, and prevented from doing the things that we wish we could do, may we, with more vigor than ever, search out the ways that we can be thankful, even in the midst of this crisis. You know, Manya and the boys and I, the other night, we were in Memphis, and we weren't able to go out to eat. And the boys love to eat good food. They're cut out of their daddy's mold. We are meat eaters. And we wanted to go out to a wonderful restaurant, but we couldn't. We had to stay in to stay isolated from those as the restaurants were closing. We got takeout, and after we'd taken out and gotten our meal, we also bought a deck of cards, and we played a game of spades and had more fun than we've had in years. Both of the boys said that. We laughed. We cut up. And of course, yes, Manya and I defeated them with all the might that we could. So I just had to rub that in a little bit. No, we beat them by 3 points, but we had a great time. My point is, even in the midst of that, may we cherish the good thing that's coming, even in the midst of the bad that has us separated. Also, even now, as we're not allowed to worship together, as church communities corporatively are together, isn't it great that we're being able to share in this experience now with people who haven't been able to go to church in years? And also, how much more will we cherish holy worship together when we're able to be together again? Even in the midst of this pandemic, friends, we can find things to be thankful for. And the more we are thankful, I'm convinced, the more we will know joy. You see, that's why the essence of our faith is to be people of worship. That's why the wisdom of Solomon, who was known as the wisest person to ever live on this earth, at the end of Ecclesiastes, here's what Solomon said at the end of the matter. Here's what matters more than everything. Fear God, revere God, love God, worship God, and enjoy Him forever. You see, I'm convinced our God calls us to be people of worship, to be people of gratitude, because God cares about our very happiness. Isn't that what any loving parent does? Parents that care for their children, they instruct them, they encourage them to do the things that will make them happiest and most joy-filled in life. Friends, I say that to you, that our God calls us to be people of worship, people of thanksgiving, because our God loves us so much and wants us to know the joy that is found in gratitude. So even now, church, as we are isolated from each other, as we are unable to attend worship together on a weekly basis now, may we embrace more than ever a spirit of worship, not only one day a week, but every day of the week. And may we worship God throughout the day. Maybe your question to me today is, well, Jody, just how thankful should we be in the midst of pandemic and trials and tribulations that we face? My question back to you is this: how much joy do you want in your life? For I'm convinced the more worshipful we are daily, the more thankful we are, even in the worst circumstances, not for the bad, but even in the bad, the more thankful we are, the more joy we will have. May we together give thanks and be a witness to the world around us. Amen. As we close today, I want us to share in one final prayer together. And in this prayer, what I would like for you to do is you hear the words of this song with me. Just consider your 1,000 gifts, 3 gifts, 5 gifts that you can give thanks for as we end our time of worship. Maybe it's individuals, our circumstances, our friends, but let us together now in silent meditation give thanks to God as we share in our closing song.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Sorry, I'm going to start that over. Y'all bear with me. Let's give thanks.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
God, we do praise you, and we thank you for this time of worship that we've shared in this day. May you embrace each of us now with your Holy Spirit as we pray together for one another and with one another. In every way, O God, that it can be pleasing to your holy will in heaven to bring restoration to our world, to our family and our friends who are suffering from this pandemic. O God, that is our heart's desire, that you would pour forth miracles of grace to restore and sustain us even in these darkest times. But as people of hope, as people of joy and love, we know our restoration is sure and certain in that heavenly realm where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, only life, love, and joy in you forever. May we continue to embrace daily the joy of our salvation as we count our blessings and the gift of life and love found in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Until we meet again, Have a great week. Be the light and be thankful. Amen.
So give everybody a little bit more time to get on, and we'll start our worship this morning. I do want to give a little update or two on people in our various community and worship families. Kenneth Brown, who's the dad of Ken Brown, one of our church members at Ripley Presbyterian, is not doing well. He's in critical condition with the coronavirus. So I ask you to continue to pray for Kenneth and Brenda and their entire family, Ken, Rhonda, all their loved ones. We also want to continue praying for Buddy Grisham, a friend over at First United Methodist Church in Ripley. A strong gift to our community with his musical skills, and just a loving friend to many of us. And we continue to pray for Buddy's healing and wholeness. He's in the hospital at Corinth, and there's many others that are continuing to be impacted. So let's remember our nation and certainly our local communities. And our
what
I want to begin with this morning.
Sorry for what?
Shared those. Just a word.
You didn't interrupt.
Yeah, I did.
Was it okay?
You could hear me on there saying, we can't hear it.
Was it okay?
Everybody's blowing my.
Was it okay?
Yeah. Rhonda Brown texted me and said that you need to call her, please.
He don't make it easy.
I think he died. She said they had to leave the recording because they got a